Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The Celtics lose a game they led by 30-plus.
Kind of let her fit off the gas in the second half.
And especially when they're in close games, this is a habit.
I mean, it's tough. Tough pill to swallow. And we can do it about it. But you don't win if
you ain't committed. Who's their dog? Who's going to hold them accountable?
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
There is no way that the Celtics could drop two games to Atlanta in a week, right?
What if I told you?
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's. What's up, everybody? I'm Richard Jefferson, in for Malika Andrews. Ramona Shelburne is here to help me hold it down in the studio. We have our senior writer, Zach Lowe, is also with us. And despite countless texts and calls to our producer, Kendrick Perkins is also going to be with us for the next hour. And Perk, unfortunately, it wasn't a McFlurry, but we did have a DeJounte Flurry in Atlanta last night. DeJounte got his shots up early and often. 44 points on 44.
How many shots?
Shots.
How many?
Including hitting all five shots in overtime. Look, Murray's mentality was just to get them up, and he gave them an outstanding effort out there. And look.
Where was that in the dunk contest?
I don't know where it was in the dunk contest, but oh my God, Jaylen Brown. Look, you don't get a body out there on the dunk contest, but in the fourth quarter, DeJounte Murray going to work. And look, they have so many defenders on the Celtics roster that none of them, everybody's going to get that work.
All NBA defenders,
the best team in the league. And DeJounte Murray, he sees them and he just goes to work. Look at this. Over top of Porzingis, offensive rebound, out. Those are just dagger threes. And look, Celtics up by three, tie it right there. I don't know what you do if you're Celtics. You take two straight L's to Atlanta, but look, I've always been a person that says, hey, these are the things that can kind of help get you locked in down the stretch in overtime. Like we said, DeJounte Murray knocking down shot after shot in the overtime for Atlanta. It was just impressive. But look, Boston's not going to go away. They're going to fight. They're going to grind. Jaylen Brown, bucket. Celtics up by one now. 6 seconds to go in overtime. Celtics up by one. Drew Holiday.
I mean, it's pretty good
enough.
Defense.
That's great defense. That I stand by. The best defense versus the best offense. I'm taking the best offense. Look at DeJounte Murray going against Drew Holiday. We already saw Derek White get some of those. But look at him. He's out there dancing in Atlanta. It was just an impressive, impressive night for DeJounte Murray. What he was able to do out on the floor, just bucket after bucket. We don't have time to show
all
44 shots.
I mean,
we don't have that. But DeJounte Murray, he had some comments after the game.
It's the NBA, right? That's the best team in the league. We competed, you know. We didn't use being tired or anything, a back-to-back as an excuse. We came out and competed, and these are the games I want to be a part of. And I still feel like I played awful. I don't want to take them any shots, but I know Kobe will be proud of me.
Boston was a massive favorite on Thursday, and they lost again, which gives them multiple losses this season as 15-point favorites. The only other teams to do so since 1990, both lost in the first round of the playoffs in that respective season. But Joe Mazzulla, he doesn't seem too concerned.
How demoralizing is this week?
Come on, man. I'm really trying hard here to, like, you know, it's not demoralizing. Demoralizing?
Look, I'm going to agree with them. Demoralizing is a very aggressive word, especially if you're the first place team. You're going to lose a game. You're going to lose a game in overtime. But, Zach, why is it that the Celtics' losses feel so loud?
Let's start with the good news, Richard. They feel so loud partly because there's so few of them and they never win close games. They only win blowouts. And so we have very few dramatic Celtics moments to talk about. And they're all this. But their crunch time offense is too slow and too predictable, and it's mediocre league-wide, and that's not going to be good enough against the best defenses who are going to play you in close games in the playoffs. It's not a crisis. It feels like a crisis because the Celtics are the best team. We hold them to a high standard, and they don't lose very often, but just give the ball to Jason Tatum and everyone else stands around. Hasn't worked well enough last year, the year before, or this year. They need to get more dynamic. Why is Kristaps Porzingis just standing in the corner, possession after possession? Come up and set a screen, run a pick and pop, get the offense moving. Derek White, the best screen setter on the whole team, run around and do some stuff. This isn't good enough. It's not a crisis. This is the best team in the East. It's all fine in the big picture, but there are going to be games that come down to this, just like these last two Hawks games, and the Celtics need to get a little more juice to their late-game offense.
Yeah, they need a little bit more juice. Again, like you said, though, they're blowing out so many teams, and when they get to these close games, when they lose, everyone wants to be concerned. But Big Perk, how big of a red flag do you think these late-game issues are that keep popping up?
I wouldn't say that it's demoralizing, but I will say it's very disturbing, especially at this moment, right? And I feel like we're constantly, every time the Celtics play and lose one of these games, we are revisiting this conversation because they haven't corrected the problem. Jason Tatum, he hasn't corrected the problem. He's still not showing up when they need him the most in the clutch time moments. And you know this, Richard, at this point of the season, all the teams that are in the postseason or in the play-in tournament, they're starting to gear up for the postseason, meaning they have NBA scouts that are in the stands, that are watching the Boston Celtics. You know why? Because they need a game plan. And right now they look vulnerable. And that's a huge part of why I have concern. Because going into the postseason, you want the scouting report to say, you know what? We're going to try to do this. We're going to try to do that. You don't want teams, especially your opponents in the Eastern Conference, getting any type of confidence. And when you look at the people that are walking down the sidelines, meaning the head coaches that are in the Eastern Conference, you have a Tom Thibodeau, who is a great head coach. You have an Eric Spoelstra. You have a Nick Nurse. You have a Doc Rivers. So, Joe Mazzulla, I know it may feel like fun and games right now, but you're going to have to do your part in these clutch game moments, in these times, coaching against the other people on the other side of the court.
I mean, I think the Celtics have just been coasting this last part of the season. They're resting guys, people who have little injuries like Jason Tatum have been sitting games here and there. They're just trying to get to the finish line of this regular season because, as you keep seeing, they have an 11-game lead on the Bucks. Okay, the 11-game lead for second place here. It's really hard to keep that level of performance that they've had all year long when they would benefit more from making sure their key guys have time, get into the playoffs fresh, aren't burning themselves out in the regular season. The problem is, when you take your foot off the gas even a little bit, you get games like this. You build the big lead, you think you can just hold it, then you get a team like the Hawks, who, by the way, they're in 10th right now. I'm not saying we don't look at the bottom of the Eastern Conference play-in tournament as much as we do the West, but the Hawks are in 10th. That could be a potential first-round series again. I know that they've had that, but you don't want to give a team like that confidence, especially if it's a team you might see in the first round.
Well, and the Hawks are fighting for something. Yeah. That's, I think, the thing that people greatly underestimate. The Boston Celtics come to town. Mm-hmm. You're going to have more fans there. It's going to be more energy. You're fighting for something. I get it, but to stay on the Hawks. The Celtics, they might struggle late in games, but DeJounte Murray does not. Murray has three buzzer beaters so far this season, the first of which came on January 17th with the game winner over Markelle Fultz to knock over the Magic. That was a big, big shot. And then two nights later, Murray had the Heat absolutely sick with his pull-up three to win the game. And it might have also been on Udonis Haslam's jersey retirement night, so that makes it a little bit worse. And then here on Thursday night, the McFlurry continues with a huge bucket to sink the Celtics in overtime. Those are the games. When you get to beat the Celtics, you remember those for the rest of your life. And look, the Hawks have been without Trae Young for 22 games this season, and it's shown some interesting trends. The Hawks have a winning record in those games and improved on the defensive end with DeJounte Murray running the show. So my thing about this is Perk. My question to you, DeJounte clearly plays better when he's the one running the show. So do you think it's time to kind of end this Trae Young, DeJounte Murray experiment? I'll leave it up to you, big guy.
Richard, are you asking me to get uncomfortable? That's what you're asking me right now, to have an uncomfortable conversation, because you can hear the whispers. And in all fairness to Trae Young, he have to expect that this conversation was going to come about, because when you get injured and your team starts to play better without you, and the guy is leading your team that played your position, this conversation needs to be had. And I think that the Atlanta Hawks is going to have to make a decision this upcoming offseason whether they want to continue with DeJounte Murray or whether they want to go with Trae Young. Now, if they decide to go with DeJounte Murray and he is Quinn Snyder guy, there's still some interesting teams out there for Trae Young, like the San Antonio Spurs or maybe like the Los Angeles Lakers. But do I think this duo right now has ran its course and it has come to an end? I absolutely do.
I mean, look, they're 10th in the East. They're the 10th in the East, and they're playing slightly better without him in the lineup, but some of that could also just be clarity, it could be schedule, it could be injuries that they've gotten guys back from, even though Trae Young is out. And I do think both of them will hear their name in trade talks, and the biggest difference is, quite frankly, Trae Young makes a lot more money, so it's harder to make a trade for Trae Young than it is for DeJounte, and I think it's... When we get to the season, we'll see who the bidders are. I think, Perk, you mentioned those teams. I think you'll hear a lot more teams out there because nobody outside of Philadelphia or Orlando really has cap space this summer. And the only way to get a star player is probably to trade for one. And there's a lot of teams that will be interested in the services of these two guys. So I expect both of them to hear their names. It's a function, though, of who wants them and what are they willing to give up, because we've now seen a year and a half of them under Quinn Snyder, and he's had an evaluation period. You have to decide, is it time to break them up, but at what cost? What are you getting back in return?
I'm not uncomfortable. Perk, I don't know about you. My chair's comfortable. My blazer's comfortable. This is a very comfortable conversation because we've got 2 years of evidence now that DeJounte Murray plus Trae Young equals mediocre. They are minus 150 total points for the season with those two guys on the floor. They just don't add up to more than the sum of their parts. They're mediocre with Trae and DeJounte. They're okay, probably mediocre with just DeJounte. If there's no change in the quality of your team, you should absolutely trade one of them for as many draft picks and future assets as you can get just to stock the cupboard again with all the stuff you traded out the door to get DeJounte Murray and put this team together. Look, it's not a surprise really that they haven't taken a step back, because there wasn't that big of a step back to even take. It's not a surprise that their defense is better without Trae Young. And by the way, Jalen Johnson's hurt. Sadiq Bey's hurt. Onyeka Okongwu's hurt. Like, the Hawks are not whole. And that's another reason, by the way, I don't want to hear this Celtics loss last night excused by the 11-game lead and their coasting. The Hawks have half their team. And I watched that game start to finish. The Celtics played hard, and they wanted to win that game. They were not coasting in that game. They were fired up. They were playing hard against a team that had half its roster, basically, and they still lost. The Celtics are fine in the big picture. Their crunch time offense is just okay. It's not a disaster. It needs to be better. But I just don't want these Atlanta losses wiped away as, oh, they mean nothing. It's just a team that was coasting. That team wasn't coasting last night. They wanted to win, and they couldn't.
Yes, that was the key, and especially coming off a loss. So you have an opportunity for a get back, and the team is shorthanded, and you still get the L. To me, that is the issue. That is when you start to not worry about the Celtics, because I think they're going to be fine. They're my pick to go to the finals. But you start to worry about, hey, are we really as locked in as we're supposed to be? Are we as locked in as Perk is supposed to be? But – This is ESPN's next Wednesday doubleheader. Jason Tatum and the Celtics host the Thunder at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. The Cavs are in Phoenix to take on Devin Booker, KD, and the Suns. Coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 7. Coming up, last night Zion was flying and the Bucks were bummed. With 2 weeks left in the regular season, just how good is Giannis's team? On top of Draymond's latest drama, Steph and the Warriors need to worry about just making the play-in now. How should Golden State approach this final stretch run? We'll answer. And it's been the year of Caitlin Clark in college basketball. We'll show you how the Iowa legend is instant offense every time she touches the ball. You are watching NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
We had a clash of titans between Zion and Giannis last night. The big fella, the long man going at it. It was these two, when you get to watch these guys, this is when it was fun. Scary moment though for the Bucks. Take a look, Damian Lillard comes up a little hobbled here. Just no contact. He would play the rest of the game. Damian Lillard, he's tough. He's from Oakland. We don't worry about that. But jump to the third quarter. Zion drives to the basket.
Get out the way!
Makes a tough layup. He seems more athletic. He seems more explosive going through contact more than we've seen in the past couple
years. There wasn't a lot of contact. That's what. No, but he's, we're like, I don't want any
he's
part
going
of that.
Through it.
And when he seems healthy.
He seems healthy. It's amazing, you know, how some of these things can work. And then Giannis up top for the lob.
Nice speed.
Look, this Bucks team, we're still trying to, in my opinion, we've been more surprised by what the Pelicans can do, and we're still trying to figure out who these Bucks are. Giannis finishing in the lane. Are they still trying to figure out 20 straight points in the third quarter? I don't know, maybe double team him? I don't know. We're going to jump to the fourth, though. Dame Lillard.
Not a lot of rim protection there.
Not a lot of rim protection there.
That's Herb one Jones. Thing I would like to see more from Zion is more of that.
More of that?
Rim protection, not the layup. Oh,
look, Zion has been healthy and on a tear of late. And Thursday was just the latest effort. He finished with his 19th game of the season of 25 points on 60% from the floor. The only player with more in any other season for the Pelicans is Zion himself. So, Zach. Zion's putting together some of the best basketball of his young career, but what stood out to you watching his play of late?
It's the best he's ever played. He's making a late season push for all NBA. His defense is on another planet from where it was even 2-3 months ago. But there were a couple plays that made me sit up in my chair and say, holy bleep, and we're going to look at him now. The first is this drive. Holy bleep it out. The first is this drive. This doesn't look like much because it's Zion. That's Giannis Antetokounmpo and Brooke Lopez. The most fearsome rim protection duo in the entire league. A defensive player of the year and an annual defensive player of the year. Kenny, he doesn't care. And I want to see more of this when Brandon Ingram is back. Inverted pick and roll. CJ McCollum screens for Zion. Uh-oh, what are we going to do? We got to trap. We got to do something. Flares open for a three. That's point Zion, but it's point Zion interacting with the other great players on the team. Thumbs up. Holy bleep.
Wow, the Pels are trending up. It feels like the Bucks are treading water. Take a listen to a little bit of frustration from Giannis after last night's loss.
We gotta play fast. Like that's who we are, you know. But we just gotta find it. We don't have nine games to find it. We gotta find it tomorrow. We gotta find it against Atlanta. I don't care about the nine games we have left. I gotta find it right now.
The Bucks have been up and down since Doc Rivers took over, and they are now 14-13. Let me repeat. They are 14-13 in his time on the sideline. Milwaukee has been in the middle of the pack during that time. And remember, Adrian Griffin was 30-13 during his time with the Bucks this season. We are now joined with Hall of Famer Mark Spears. Mark, you know better than anyone what that record says. That's who you are. Yeah. So what do you think that we're seeing from the Bucks? What is it that you feel is the biggest issue with them?
It's a wild ride like a Harley that you could get in Milwaukee right now. I mean, the thing with this team is they're still getting used to Doc, right? They're still getting used to Dame. They're still getting used to all these different things. But this is what's going to help them. One, they got to figure out a way to keep that two seed, and luckily the rest of the East will help them, right? But once they lock that two seed in, they got 5 days. Mm-hmm. They got those 5 days in between their last game and the first playoff game. And that's when Doc Rivers has to do a mini camp. Have these guys come in for those 5 days, get used to Chris Middleton again, figure out all the problems, not only get on the court, get in the film room. They got 5 days to figure it out. Doc could be basically get his plan together to try to fix things, because, I mean, this has certainly been disappointing, but it's not like Doc got a training camp. So this will be Doc's training camp to try to figure this out.
That's a great point. And one of the reasons why they had initially hired Adrian Griffin, first-time head coach, they thought, oh, we have most of the same guys back, right? This is before the Dame Lillard trade. This is a veteran team that they had. This is before they had all this uncertainty. And then all of a sudden, right before training camp, they trade for Damian Lillard, and they trade out Drew Holiday, and they make such huge seismic changes. So you're right. Doc Rivers hasn't had a training camp. He doesn't have his whole staff there. He hasn't even been able to put in most of what he does offensively or defensively. And his team hasn't had a chance to run it all. I mean, you don't get to practice much during the season.
No, look, for me, when I watch this team, I'm still trying to figure out what they are trying to figure out. That's the keyest thing. It's like, oh, you could see that a team is trying to figure something out. But when you watch them, they're like, what are they trying to figure out? There was their defense. There was their pick and roll with Giannis and Dame. We've seen a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But, Perk, what do you think can get this team rolling? Why do you think they aren't
Perk
rolling?
Perk knows Doc. He knows what Doc can do or not do.
Well, it's about sacrificing. And it's going to start with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, how much is he going to sacrifice not having the ball in his hands? When you look at the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis, Damian Lillard's game goes to another level. And I'm not just talking about scoring. I'm talking about facilitating. So, Giannis, are you actually going to embrace that role of actually, you know, being more of a screen setter or a dribble handoff guy? You're still going to get your points, but can you do it by sacrificing being less ball dominant? I think when you look at these numbers right here, when, you know, Giannis is off the court compared to when he's on the court, now I get it, Dame Rose steps up, is asked to do more. But again, you brought Damian Lillard in here to give you help. So if I'm Giannis, I'm actually watching Jokic and Murray and how they mastered the two-man game and saying, can I do this with Damian Lillard? And I believe the answer is yes.
Well, I agree with you, Big Perk. Coming up, Anthony Edwards is excitement personified, while Nikola Jokic is the steadiest star in the NBA. Are these two destined to meet in the Western Conference Finals? Plus, we'll see players getting ejected all the time in the NBA, but you'll hear one player tell us all the reason why he got tossed, and Caitlin Clark is a scoring threat the moment she steps on the floor. We'll show you how she gets, how she works to get great looks nearly all the time. You're watching NBA Today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The long wait is over. After 47 years, the Denver Nuggets can finally call themselves NBA champions.
We don't want one. We want two.
Are this year's Nuggets better than last year's championship team?
They are.
Murray from way downtown. Oh, Porter Jr.
They're just that sound, and their best player is the most sound player in basketball.
Nikola Jokic doing his thing.
I don't think anybody can do what Nikola does.
On the money.
Are you kidding me, Joker?
You're watching NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
Tonight, Nikola Jokic and the first-seeded Nuggets host Anthony Edwards and the second-seeded Timberwolves in Denver. Remember, in their previous matchup, Denver beat them by three, but Ant had a chance to tie it at the end. As you can see, the Wolves are only a half game back from that all-important one seed. And look, here we are. Look, don't stab me. Whoever wins tonight in Denver takes the one seed in the West. People love throwing up all of these numbers that don't matter, but I'm here to tell you that tonight's game could shape up a lot of what's going on in the West. Now look, whoever with the win, the Timberwolves or Nuggets, these are the chances of them finishing with the number one seed. With the loss, it drops to 18% and 23%. So that shows you that both these teams, they know these numbers. They know how important with that. And even with that, both teams will meet again before the season ends. And tonight's game could be even bigger for the Nuggets since they don't own the tiebreaker over the Wolves just yet. That is what's impressive. And another little tidbit, the Denver Nuggets, they don't own the tiebreaker over OKC. So they've got a little work looking up. They might be tied, but they're in the worst position of being tied. So, Perk, between these two teams, who do you think is going to be in the conference finals? Do you think that this is a conference finals preview?
I don't. But, I'm not sold yet because I don't know when Carl Anthony Towns or if he's coming back. But I will say this. The Denver Nuggets are going to be there, okay? But when it comes down to the Minnesota Timberwolves, I really don't want to go against Anthony Edwards and how stingy that defense is, right? That's a bunch of dogs over there. I watched them last weekend when they played against the Golden State Warriors, and what they do on the perimeter, how they make people feel, how they make people uncomfortable. This team is very, very dangerous. I think when you think about this game tonight, this is a confidence booster for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We know what they're capable of doing at home, but when you have a young team that could actually go into Denver against the defending champs who just came off a loss against the Phoenix Suns and win the game going into the postseason, it does a certain thing when it comes down to your confidence on the level aspect.
When they've played in the past, what Minnesota likes to do against Jokic is put Towns on Jokic and put Gobert on Aaron Gordon and say, Rudy, you roam around and block shots and muck everything up. Well, there's no Towns tonight, as Perk mentioned. So who guards Jokic? Do they try and do that with Naz Reid? That seems like it could be a problem. Do they put Gobert on Jokic? I think that's interesting. And about Karl Towns, it's a little early. I don't want to make too much of it, but they're 7-3 without him. Naz Reid is playing really well in his starting spot. Their defense has not missed a beat. Given the financial situation this team is in after this season, when all the big deals come together, given that they can't really decide who wants to own the team in any given week or month or year, I just think it's worth noting how they're playing without him. And if that continues, and I don't think it will, I think they need Karl Towns to make a deep playoff run. I think his shooting and skill set on offense is just so special and so valuable to them. But it's worth monitoring given the situation they face going forward. But as for tonight, who guards Jokic? It all starts from there every time the Nuggets play.
I also think it seems like there's a lot of people who want to own the team right now.
Yes.
Look, people forget that they actually had a playoff series against each other last year. And it was the first round. And I think we look back on that playoff series and you know, Denver got through them. They hadn't won a championship yet. But now when you look back on that series, like, they matched up very well with the Denver Nuggets. They have the size. They have the versatility. They have different parts. As Zach mentioned, they have different ways of guarding Jokic. Like, this is a team, if you're Denver, that, I mean, they were constructed by the same guy, Tim Connelly. Tim Connelly was in Denver for a long time. Now he's in Minnesota. Calvin Booth took over in Denver. But they were constructed with the same idea in mind, which is size, versatility, an Aaron Gordon type. So there's Jaden McDaniels there in Minnesota. This is a tough matchup if this indeed is a playoff matchup going forward.
Are we just going to ignore the new kids on the block?
Yes.
Or are we just going to ignore them?
Giving them some props.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, those new kids.
Those new kids. Yeah. Those young boys. They're half a game out.
That's
like,
right.
Like, they got a shot at this too, right? Oh. Or are we just going to dismiss them because they're young? They have no pressure. They just balling. SGA perhaps should be MVP. Chet is, I mean, every time I watch them, my heart starts telling me, you know what? My mind says no because they're young, but my heart's like, I don't know. These young boys, they're coming to play every night. So I don't know, man. I'm not going to just dismiss them because they're the, you know, got Similac on their breath and everything.
Look, I agree. And the three of them, now Denver's been the one that has kind of creeped up here in the last couple of weeks. But it's been OKC. It's been Minnesota. Those have been the two teams really for most of the regular season that have been battling for number one, and then Denver just being the old man, slowly getting to where they need to get. But I will say this. Everyone talks about how they are vulnerable at the top, the one and two, when they're talking about OKC and Minnesota. No one's talking about if Denver gets the one seed,
right,
that 7-8 could possibly knock them off.
They're playing like defending champs. Like,
yes.
After the All-Star break, Jokic sent a text around to everybody and said, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And they have gone.
It's time to play. Okay.
And I think that they have played like a defending champion these last couple weeks, especially since the All-Star break. And we just had a topic about the Celtics, right? They have not played like that.
Yeah.
They're not playing with something to prove right now. They're playing like, we just want to get to the end of the regular season and let's be healthy going into the playoffs. Denver is playing like, let me remind you.
Well, oh no, I agree. And speaking of health, right? Coming up, the Knicks are getting healthier and have won 7 of 8. And that might just be the start of the good news. My friend Kendrick, why did I say my friend? He will explain.
I mean, today.
Ahead.
That's your boy. That's
my guy. That's
your frenemies.
Again, frenemies, you know, we work together.
Yeah.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Well, at least it went out with a bang.
Bang! It went out with a bang!
Mike Breen?
You said bang. That's my line.
Well, I meant more of like an electrical fire bang.
Like this?
Bang!
No, like bang! 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 Bang!
That's a pretty good bang. But what are we going to do about this bang?
Oh, you don't need a catchphrase. You need a jingle. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm is here to help.
Bang!
He really went out with a bang.
The NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
Why?
We're going to see the Lions. This is the land of the Lions. Oh my goodness.
It is different.
Mark, what did I just watch right there? That looked a little scary to me.
Yeah, man. Well, RG, I recently went down to South Africa to see the beginning of the fourth season of the Basketball Africa League. And in the midst of watching some really competitive hoops and in the middle of just some really energetic crowds, I had the pleasure of going on a safari with two-time NBA All-Star and 2014 Defensive Player of the Year, Joakim Noah, who is an ambassador of the BAL. And we got to see the lion.
That looked a little. You guys feeding the meat? That gets a little scary. Man. Gets a little scary.
A lion's going to lion. We learned that.
A lion's going to lion.
You want to see what it is? Come on, one more.
You hungry?
Now, is this better than Cleveland?
It's way better than Cleveland.
It's a day off for Joakim Noah in Pretoria, South Africa. A descendant from Cameroon, Joakim is an investor and ambassador for the Basketball Africa League. He's visiting South Africa for the first time in his life to help support and promote the future of basketball on this continent.
Being able to grow basketball on the continent, it's deep. It's being able to empower young people here, and I think it's something that's it's so important.
The BAL, which recently started its fourth season, is holding games here in South Africa, as well as Senegal and Egypt, before the playoffs and the championship game take place in Rwanda in late May.
The celebrations have begun!
With more and more NBA players coming from Africa and finding immense success in the United States, Joakim and the BAL's main goals are to showcase the hoop talent on the continent and build a better infrastructure for the next generation.
The BAL is obviously a great platform, but you know, it's about how to grow the grassroots as well, and my roots are from here. For me, this is my life's work. This is where I get my passion. This is my work now.
And on this day, also experience Africa's incredible wildlife on this three-hour safari.
When you've got a lot of worries and a lot of things going on in your private life, you saw George comes and gives you a big hug. Everything just goes away. It's respect on both sides and a certain amount of love on both sides. How about Richie Sunak? You don't like him either? No. That's why they're called lions, because they're always lying down. They're like your house cat.
Yeah. They're eating leaves off the tree. They want to eat chips. I can go back home now and I got a real story to tell. You know, nature just has a way of just keeping you humble. That lion doesn't care about your double-double. That lion will eat Shaq. It's a different order out there in the wild. The Rasas, they always say, it's a lion order. Just being out here in the land of the lions, just like being that close to them, being able to feel that energy, that primal energy, experiences like this, like it changes you.
The 2024 Basketball Africa League season features the top club teams from 12 African countries playing a record 48 games across four African countries. The BAL picks up play April 19th in the Nile Conference, and the finals will begin May 24th. It's Friday, and Malika's not here.
Not only do I get
to host NBA Today, I'm also hosting Who Said That? We're
going
to take a look at some quotes that caught our attention.
Ask
our esteemed contestants, who said that? Does that sound good? You guys like that? Everybody excited? All right. Here are the current standings.
Okay.
Here are the current standings. I have no idea how I'm in last place, but whatever. Who cares? I think it's because I show up the least.
What you mean?
They don't even like that.
Minimum seven games played.
Okay. Look. Perk, we're going to start with you since you want to chirp so much. All right. Quote, I called him a TikToker and I got a tech. Was it Miles Turner, Chris Paul, or was it me?
Well, Richard, I'm glad you like me today because this is a layup. I'm going with Chris Paul on this one, okay? That's the easy thing. It was floating everywhere. That's why I stay the lead. I pay attention.
I called him a TikToker. I got a tech.
I relate.
It's just hard for me to believe that Chris Paul doesn't have a good relationship with the referees. I cannot believe that. That is so surprising to me. It's
Richard, this is our demographic here. Chris Paul, you, me, we're all this age. We're not necessarily on TikTok, right?
That's fine. That's fine. All right, Zach, Zach is the man that watches the most TikTok on here. All right, this is a quote. I run around like I'm an idiot during the game and just blank beep stuff up.
Yep.
Was it Josh Hart?
This
is Dylan Brooks or Grant? Well, I know you're not talking about easy perk after what we just gave you. Josh Hart, Dylan Brooks, or Grant Williams? Zach?
First of all, Richard, you're a TikToker.
Yeah.
I boycott this entire exhibition because Malika is the real host of Who Said That.
That's right.
And the answer is Josh Hart.
Oh, is it Josh Hart?
Run around like an idiot during the game and just it up. Like you're paid to do.
Oh, look, I think he's being accurate, and he's been blanking stuff up for a long time.
Triple doubles for Josh Hart.
Josh Hart has played the best basketball of his career. Congratulations to that. Love him. All right, Ramona, your last. Take us home with this one. What player told the media how he really feels about post-game press conferences by saying, quote, as far as talking to y'all, I don't get blank out of that. They ask me, I do it. I get no joy in this after a win or after a loss. Was it Kyrie?
Ooh.
Was it Devin Booker? Or was it De'Aaron Fox?
Ooh, I don't know this one.
It's a good one.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with Book. Let's go with Devin Booker. No!
Oh, De'Aaron, the Mr. Ooh, nice guy.
Wow. Salty.
As far as talking to y'all?
Yeah, just, you
I
know.
Get, I don't get shit out of that.
Whoa.
I get no joy in this after a win or a loss.
What I like about it is he says, I'm a professional. I don't like this. I don't want to be here. I want to play basketball and go home. Do I enjoy talking? No.
All right. Okay, Richard. Look, you didn't had your time of hosting. I understand you doing your thing. It's my time to host. Now, I don't like you now, but like 20 years ago, maybe we could have hung out. And like, look, I want to, you know, present something to you.
Uh-oh.
What are you?
Flashback.
Ooh.
Yeah, flashback. Oh. See, I'm not always a hater. I shine light on you, RJ.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, look, I consider first, you I as appreciate a friend. That. Was that 20 years ago? God,
it was 20 years
old.
Ago. Today, yes, the anniversary.
20
of that
years
dunk,
ago.
20 years ago. Yeah,
you
I think you
like
had
that,
a
right?
little bit of hair
no.
too. By
no,
the way.
I can't dunk like that on the 9-foot hoop. But speaking of 20 years coming up, LeBron and AD and the Lakers have been rolling up late. I know he was playing back then. We'll tell you why they're getting some big help exactly at the right moment. NBA Today is next.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
The West is going to come down to the wire, so let's stick it in the West. Ramona, in a weekend edition of What's Burning, starting in Los Angeles. LeBron and AD carried a lot of the load this season, but help may be on the way. What's burning in LA?
Remember Gabe Vincent when they got him in the offseason?
Yeah, I remember that guy.
He had such a great run for the Miami Heat during the playoffs. He has rejoined the Lakers in Indianapolis after playing just 5 games all season. He's listed as out for tonight's game, but if he continues to progress, we could see Gabe Vincent back on the court. For the
all
Lakers
right. Now, sorry. Now to the team ahead of the Lakers in the standings. How are the Suns approaching this final stretch?
Well, I talked to Yusuf Nurkic about this and said, you guys really have such a tough schedule down this. And he goes, that's fine. We play better against better teams. And if we have to do everything we can to just get there, all we have to do is be healthy. But this last stretch is tough for the Suns.
No, it's a tough stretch. But Draymond Green was just ejected just 4 minutes into the game. Ramona, what's burning with these Warriors?
Well, it would be nice, as Steve Kerr said, if Houston would lose some games because the Rockets are really pushing them for that 10 seed. They still like their team, though. They feel like they've played really good basketball the second half of the season. If they can sneak in that 10 seed, maybe the 9 seed, they feel good about their team as they have all year long. But Houston, coming for them.
All right, lastly, arguably the biggest star is in action tomorrow. What's burning with Caitlin Clark?
Well, she has been invited to Team USA camp, which is April 3rd through the 5th in Cleveland. Guess what's also in Cleveland? The Women's Final Four on the 5th through the 7th. So if Iowa makes the Final Four, she can't go to that Team USA camp. It is an Olympic year. But if they don't make it, she is invited to the camp and she will be at the
LSU will help her get there.
Yeah, I feel like
USA camp.
Speaking of Caitlin, ESPN announced it will produce a 96-page tribute print issue with the special edition magazine available on newsstands and through magazines.com and Amazon.
Is that how long that story, right, Thompson?
Yes. Before Clark leads Iowa into the Sweet 16 matchup against Colorado, here are our Chinee Agumake and Andrea Carter on what makes her such a megastar.
What's good, Richard? I see you in the host chair. It's
your
girl, Chinee Agumake, the one and only Andrea Carter. Now, Colorado faces Iowa and Caitlin Clark, and we're going to break down why she is the toughest bucket right now in the tournament. Watch this right here. It's because she's able to get into her bag so well. They have tremendous spacing, Iowa, right here. And then what? A rip through, a crossover, another signature step back off of the push off. She is so hard to guard. And when they have this floor spacing, she can knock it down from what, Drea? 35 feet?
39 feet.
Pretty much from half court.
Yeah, and the thing for me about Caitlin is her body control. Like, she's so great when it comes to ball handling skills at getting the ball from the ground right into her shot. But she's also perfected the amount of lean that she has in her shot and the fadeaway in her shot. And for me, think about this. She's really good when she rejects the screens, but she's also really good going to her right hand. So you're like, okay, I want her to use the screen, but I also want her to go left. So you're constantly, as a defender, thinking, what am I supposed to do to make life difficult on her? Because when she goes left, she likes to get into her fadeaway three-point shot. There are just so many things you have to make it difficult on her. But either way, she's going to get the better of you. So as a defender, you just have to keep your composure because she's going to hit tough shots.
It's true. Everyone knows she leads the nation in scoring, but she also does so in assists. So clearly, she is totally a problem. Back to you, Richard. Don't mess it up, okay?
Oh, thank you, Chinee. I appreciate that. You can catch Caitlin Clark in the Women's Sweet 16 on ABC tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern, along with the jam-packed schedule on ESPN's family of networks. So before we head out, let's make some big predictions for the weekend. When we're sitting here next week, what will have happened? Starting with you, Big Perk, what's your big prediction?
That my Knicks will be the number two seed in the Eastern Conference.
That's simple. My goodness.
His Knicks.
I mean, he has claimed them. I'm just going to say Denver. I feel like they've decided they want to win the Western Conference, and they have a game tonight where they can really put their foot down on it.
De'Aaron, I do give an ish about your game against the Mavericks tonight after you got blown out a few days ago. I see the Kings responding, getting a close win, and turning on the beam.
I'm going to say this. I have no predictions. I am hungover. I am grumpy. My Wildcats lost. I am very, very upset about that. The rest of it, I don't matter. I don't care about anything.
Got some
as
free
long
time
as
this
Duke
weekend.
Loses, as long as Duke loses, that's the only thing that can make my weekend better.
What did happen to your Wildcats?
They were hungover, too. They were hungover, too.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.